Hello again. We'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Paul Allison. Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Grab your Bibles and turn with me over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 12. And the title of this week's message is, The Godly Man Ceaseth. Psalm 12, starting with verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips and are our own, who is Lord over us? Very arrogant. Attitude. Who is Lord over us? Verse 5, For the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them, from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Boy, that's very true today. We've got vile men sitting in power positions all the way from Washington, D.C. right down to the local level. And it's terrible, the situation we're in. But kind of what I want to focus on here is that first verse, Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. You know, one scripture says, when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And I believe that's something we're experiencing today. I tell you what, we need to make sure we're not part of this problem. If you're out there today and you're a believer and you love Jesus, we need to make sure that we're not part of this problem, but that we're working toward curing this problem. You know, it's just terrible the shape this world's getting in. Our nation and is just in decline because morality is in decline. I've never seen such a time whenever the scripture's been fulfilled like it was prophesied, where it says they'll call evil good and good evil. They'll put sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet, light for darkness and darkness for light. They've turned everything around. Nowadays, if you stand up for what's right, they will villainize you. They'll make fun of somebody that's pure. Like a young person that's a virgin. They get made fun of by their peer group for their purity. Oh, I tell you what, I heard this as a young lady. I believe she's maybe a preacher's daughter, and she'd been brought up strict and straight, and now listen, just because they've been brought up that way don't mean they'll adhere to it. But thank God she had adhered to what her parents had taught her. And she was pure. She was a virgin. And some of her classmates, she's a teenager, I guess in high school or whatnot, some of her classmates was making fun of her for being a goody-goody. Boy, she put them in her place. She looked at them and she said, Listen, at any time I want, I could be like you. But never again can you be like me. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you what, God will put words in your mouth that your adversaries can't gainsay nor resist. He'll be able to put words in your mouth that'll shut them up. But here what we got today, we got wicked people just a more abundant as every day goes on. And we got righteous people that's just seem to be fewer and far between. And so, it's sad. It breaks my heart. People that's supposed to be righteous, standing in pulpits, they don't stand up for what's right. Oh, they sugarcoat everything. They water down the scripture. They act like everything's okay and there ain't nothing wrong. And they'll stand up there and smile at you and just to get your offering in the money in the offering plate. And they'll tell you everything's okay, and they'll tell you just half the story. They'll tell you how much God loves you, and hallelujah, He does. God is love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Boy, I mean, that's the truth of God, but it's just half the story, because the Bible tells us the wrath of God is upon the children of disobedience. He said, and those that believe not, they're condemned already. Oh, I tell you, whenever God's wrath's going to be poured out on this old world one of these days, it's going to be against the wicked. It's going to be against those that repented not, the Scripture said. And Jesus had John the Baptist preparing the way before him. He went out and preached and told them to repent. And then when Jesus came himself, he told them to repent. And then he sent the apostles out at preaching the gospel. And they went out preaching that men should repent. Hallelujah. You need to turn from your wickedness. Over in the book of Revelation, it said God's wrath was on them because they repented not of their murders and their thieves and their sorceries. Oh, but according to some of these wishy-washies nowadays, he's getting in the pulpit. They, according to them, there ain't nothing wrong with anything. God's going to be good to everybody no matter what. Listen. The Bible says the time will come they'll not be able to endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh, they got an itching ear, so they want to get somebody up there that's going to sugarcoat everything and tickle that itching ear and tell them everything's all right. Smile at them and tell them everything's all right. Listen, sin's still sin. It's still sin to have sex outside of marriage. And trust me, believe you me, just because the world lets these people have these same-sex marriages don't mean that's legitimate. God made them in the beginning male and female, and them twain should be one flesh. He told them, be fruitful and multiply. Same-sex couple can't do that. They're thumbing their nose at the design of God. Now listen, I don't hate these people. I just disagree with them. I believe they're choosing to do something that's wrong. Just like drinking's wrong, lying's wrong, thieving is wrong. You cheat on your husband or wife, that's wrong. You get out here and you know, premarital sex, it's wrong. The only thing it's as far as sexual relations goes, that's okay in the eyes of God. There's one. It's easier to say what's right than to try to name everything that's wrong. The one thing that's acceptable in the eyes of God is one man and one woman in the bond of holy matrimony. Anything outside of that is not right in the eyes of God. Not according to my opinion, but according to what His Word tells us. And so, no, I don't hate none of them. But I disagree with them. And I don't believe it's anybody's benefit to try to smooth things over and sweep it under the rug and act like everything's okay when God said it ain't. And these people committing these abortions? Listen, murdering that unborn child? The life of the flesh is in the blood. And so I believe it's just maybe it's 6 days old. That they've already got the blood starting to form in that little... I believe as soon as that egg is conceived and those chromosomes come together, that is human life. Now, some people might disagree with that. Well, I tell you what, I ain't going to risk it. I wouldn't risk it. Listen, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And if you shed man's blood, your blood will be shed. So, people won't shoot straight anymore. They won't call sin, sin. They don't even want to talk about hell. Listen, I don't want to harp on it all the time. You know, just browbeat a congregation with hellfire and brimstone constantly, it ain't very edifying. But boy, it has its place, and you don't want to exclude it from your arsenal. Hell is just as real as heaven. See, they water it down now. They want to just say, well, the Bible's allegory. But, you know, they want, and it's all symbolism. But then they want to believe that heaven is real. But then they just want to believe that maybe hell is an allegory. It ain't real. They want to believe the love of God is real. But the wrath of God, no, that's not real. That's just symbolism. No, hell is just as real as heaven. God's wrath is just as real as God's love. And the wrath of God will be upon the children of disobedience. And when you thumb your nose at God's authority, at God's word, at God's design, at God's power, and you want to do things your way, you are full of rebellion. And rebellion is as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry. Now, I think that's pretty serious. You get hard-headed and hard-hearted, you may as well be bound down to a graven image. Think about that. That's what the Lord tells us in His Word. But nobody will tell it straight anymore. Getting fewer and further between those who will tell it straight. That's why here David said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." Let's not be part of that problem. Let's step up and tell the truth. Tell people about the love of God. Surely, yes, tell them about the love of God. You point them to the cross to show them love. Oh, if they can't look at the cross and see how much Jesus loved them. But it also lets us know how severe and how serious our sin problem is. And listen, Jesus taught about hell over and over again. And He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My word shall not pass away." This nonsense that they try to tell you, don't preach about hell anymore, it just don't work. That's a work of Satan. That's a satanic influence working its way into pulpits across this land and working its way into seminaries and these theological classrooms across this land. This old postmodern era lie. It's a sinful lie. And I love you enough to tell you the truth about it. It's going to bring God's wrath. They've turned their ears away from the truth and turned them to fables. They'd rather believe evolution than to believe creation. They'd rather believe a lot of this old silly nonsense. They'd rather believe a UFO brought us here instead of Almighty God creating us out of the dust of the earth. When He made Adam and breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. And then took one of Adam's ribs and made Eve. And then from them came all the human race. The Bible says Eve is the mother of all living. So here we have people nowadays, they want to try to cozy up to this crowd listen, there's nothing wrong with science. I couldn't be coming to you by way of internet if it wasn't for science. You wouldn't have a wristwatch or eyeglasses or an automobile. If it wasn't for science, there's nothing wrong with science. Paul warned Timothy about the oppositions of science, falsely so-called, when they in the name of science lie and oppose the truths of God. That's what you've got to look out for. So help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. We need people to step up and to be godly, hallelujah. Oh, we need people that's willing to praise Him. They ain't ashamed to testify. They ain't ashamed to witness. They ain't afraid to proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How He hung on the cross and died for our sins. Was buried in a buried tomb. Hallelujah. And then arose again on that third and appointed morning. Walked with them for 40 days. Appeared to them numerous times. Then ascended on high and sat down on the right hand of God, where He sits at this very moment interceding for whosoever would call upon His name. And whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then one day, hallelujah, the trumpet will sound and He's coming back to get His own. And He will judge the wicked. He will judge this ungodly world. He'll destroy the wicked with the brightness of His coming. But hallelujah, those that love and serve Him and are partakers in that first resurrection, on them the second death hath no power. And they'll rule and reign with Him forever. Hallelujah. That gospel needs to be proclaimed. But the godly man ceaseth. I think about back in Boaz's day. Whenever in the book of Ruth, Boaz, you know, he was a man of wealth. He had people working for him. He showed out up out there in the fields. He said, "The Lord bless thee." And the workers, they looked at him and said, "The Lord be with thee." Hallelujah. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to have a godly boss like that? Want to show up on the job and say, "Praise the Lord, fellers." And the fellers look around and say, "Well, bless you. God bless you, boss man." Oh, wouldn't that be a wonderful work environment? But no, the godly man ceaseth. Now you got a bunch of people in there and all they're doing is trying to climb that corporate ladder and don't care who they step on, budging it to the point that the workers can't make an honest living, even though they work and give them an honest day's work, and they don't get an honest day's pay. Oh, but the scripture tells us over in the book of James, it said, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you, for your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall eat your flesh as it were fire. It said, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered. Oh, listen, it said, and the wages of them who have reaped down your fields, which is kept back by you of fraud, have reaped in the ears, it said, the cries of them which have reaped down your fields have reaped in, has entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Listen, he hears whenever these men, these rich men, they've heaped treasure together for the last days. They nurse their hearts as in a day of slaughter. They have killed and condemned the just, he said, and they don't resist you. But he said, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Listen, hallelujah, it's a coming. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But there are not many of them like Boaz anymore. He wasn't worried about the bottom line. He seen Ruth out yonder reaping. He said, throw down a little extra for her. Throw down some, let her reap, let her glean right in amongst the sheaves there. Oh, don't rebuke her. Throw a little extra down for her. Oh, but the godly man ceaseth. Now they think, I wonder who we can let lay off so I can get a bigger bonus. If I lay two or three off, I'll get a bigger bonus. That stuff goes on. Oh, it's going on big time. So, the Lord's watching. He says, you go to now, you rich man, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. He said, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is kept back of you by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Nobody's getting away with nothing. The Lord's watching. We're going to answer to Him one day. So where are the ones that are willing to stand up and preach bold and firm and straight and tell you about both sides of it, the love of God and the wrath of God? Preach hell hot and heaven sweet, hallelujah. Where are they at? There's still a few around, but they're getting few and far between. The ranks are getting thin. Won't you be somebody that stands up, stand in the gap? Don't be part of this problem, brethren, but start working on being part of a solution. The godly man ceaseth. People that's willing to praise God openly, to tell the truth boldly. Breaks my heart. Oh, it used to be, there wasn't no bad words on TV. Now they let it fly. They bleep out a little bit, but boy, they just don't care what they put on there. Filth of all kinds. Just terrible things that, our children are subjected to. And then in the classroom and our government, oh, it's sickening. The education system, our government, just so much corruption, so much wickedness. And the ones that are willing to stand up and be bold, they get ridiculed. They're villainized. Oh, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. We need to pray for our society. We need to pray for our nation. It's a terrible time we live in, but we need to be bold for Jesus. Maybe you're out there today and you've never been saved. Won't you bow your head and ask the Lord to save you? Just say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Ask Him to save you and forgive you. He gladly will. The Lord loves you and He'd love to have you. Or maybe out there as a believer, you've not contributed. You're actually part of the problem here. You need to be godly and stand up and be bold for Jesus. Maybe you've grown cold. Maybe you've went astray. Or maybe you've just failed to be strong for Him. Won't you just ask the Lord to help you and strengthen you to stand up and not be part of this problem, but part of the solution to fix this problem, that we'll stand bold together and proclaim the truth of the gospel. And until next time, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh.